RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, weekend review, and news in brief. We'll continue to our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with listener's mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says government raises rice price to protect local farmers. Political observer says Bambang stages as suspect must be removed. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo said on Saturday that the policy to raise rice price is not to put the people in trouble. In fact, he said that the move is made because the government does not want to import rice and wants to protect local farmers. The president said importing rice will be done once national rice supply is running low. And however, he said that based on the calculation of the Agriculture Ministry, national rice supply is still sufficient, thus no need to import. Furthermore, President Jokowi said that the government would also make other policies to maintain rice supply and to make basic commodities evenly distributed in Indonesia, one of them by boosting infrastructure development. Political observer Ray Rangkuti viewed that police should remove the suspect status of inactive Corruption Eradication Commission KPK Deputy Chief Bambang Wijayanto following to a decision made by the Supervisory Commission of the Association of Indonesian Advocates, PARADI, saying that Bambang did not violate the Code of Ethics. The commission has stopped the investigation into an allegation of code of ethics violation committed by Bambang since it did not find an indication that Bambang instructed witnesses to commit perjury. Rai told Antara on Saturday, May 16, 2015, the National Police should have corrected Bambang's suspect stages. The alleged crime was not proven. He added, if police continued the investigation into the case, it would be a sign of disrespect against civil institutions and independent professionals certified by the state who have the authority to evaluate their members related to the profession. Rai continued, the president must restore Bambang's rights as KPK's commissioner previously revoked by the state due to the suspect naming, so he can resume his duty as an active KPK commissioner until his terms of office expires. Aceh provincial government aims to attract 1.8 million domestic and foreign tourists this year. The figure increases by 30% compared to that of last year. Head of Aceh Culture and Tourism Agency Reza Pahlevi said that the provincial government has prepared a number of travel packages to meet the target. He also said that primary attraction that Aceh offers are Sharia tourism and tsunami heritage tourism. Reza said one of them is the Ramadan package. Besides enjoying religious attraction, tourists can also enjoy natural beauty and the tsunami heritage spots. Reza said that the target of attracting 1.8 million tourists in 2015 is a realistic one considering that in the past few years, the number of tourists visiting Aceh continued to show a rising trend. Reza said the bulk of foreign tourists visiting Aceh are from Malaysia and the rest are from Europe, the United States, and Australia. Bureaucratic Reform Minister Judy Krishnandi said that President Joko Widodo had already had names of ministers to be evaluated. The indication, Judy said, is that during the cabinet meeting last week, President Joko Widodo gave this warning about disbursement of budget to several ministries. Judy said at the State Palace on Friday, the president that has already warned his ministers that the time is up to take their time. They have also been reminded about the importance of budget disbursement. According to Judy, with the warning, it could be concluded that President Joko Widodo has already had evaluation materials to his ministers. For the record, at the cabinet meeting last Wednesday, President Joko Widodo reprimanded GIF ministries that have not completed their organization restructuring. The government continued to call on all national industries, especially those under the Indonesian Chamber of Trade and Industry (Kadin), to prepare competent business players that have high competitiveness and are ready to compete with business players from other countries. Industry Minister Saleh Husin in Jakarta recently, the ASEAN Free Trade (AFT) on one hand gives opportunities in that it opens up markets for Indonesian products in ASEAN. On the other hand, if we are not cautious, Indonesia will only become markets for products from other ASEAN countries. Saleh also said that the government is determined to boost the growth and development of new entrepreneurs and business players so that they can compete in the ASEAN region. The minister further said that in a bid to rule the ASEAN market, the industry ministry will prioritize 9 industry sectors, namely agro-based industries, CPO, cacao and rubber, fish and processed products industry, textile and textile product industry, shoes and leather product industry, furniture industry, food and beverage industry, fertilizer and petrochemical industry, machine industry, as well as metal and steel industry. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says government raises rice price to protect local farmers. Political observer says Bambang stages as suspect must be removed. That was the news.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back with me, Dee, in our weekly segment News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta State University, or UNY, held the National Children Dalang or Puppet Master Festival 2015 from May 12 to 16, 2015. This festival was held to celebrate the 51st Dies Natalis or anniversary of UNY. The festival was a series of Love Museum Movement promotion program initiated by the government. It also aimed to instill Adiluhung or suburb culture among the students. Head of the National Children Dalang Festival Committee 2015, Dwi Siswanto, said in Yogyakarta that Yogyakarta State University supports cultural preservation program, especially wayang kulit or leather puppet preservation. According to him, only guidance by developing talent and interest of art world is a learning process that deserves attention and appreciation from various parties. As many as 47 Dalang or Children Puppet Masters took part in the 5th National Children Dalang Festival at the Indonesian Education Museum. The next news comes from Cirebon, West Java. Taman Air Gua Sunyaragi opened Cirebon Babesan Native Language Course. Babesan is Cirebon traditional language, which is usually used to respect and appreciate to whom we talk. Head of Public Relations and Marketing Divisions at Taman Air Gua Sunyaragi Management Agency, Eko Ardi Nugraha, said last Monday that the opening of Babesan course was in line with the 14th Sultan Sepuh Declaration Pangeran Raden Adipati Arif Natadiningrat about Aja Isin Ngomong Babesan or Don't Be Shy to Speak Cirebon. In the declaration unveiled early last year, Sultan called on Cirebon people not to be shy to speak Babesan in daily life. The Babesan course runs once a week every Friday in Pesanggrahan Gua Sunyaragi on Jalan Brigjen Darsono, Bypass Cirebon. The last news is from Bandung, West Java. Wayang Ajen Shadow Puppet Artist from West Java and Wayang Fujian Artist from China collaborated in a performance at Pajajaran University or UNPAD Bandung, West Java. According to the committee head of Wayang Ajen Fujian Performance, Taufik Ampera, it is a collaboration of art and culture, in this case Wayang from Indonesia represented by Wayang Ajen and Wayang Fujian from China. The event aimed at maintaining shadow puppet art was organized by China National Art Fund and Pajajaran University. Taufik Ampera revealed that it shows that wayang art is universal. He really appreciated it because they gave a good performance in playing wayang. Wayang Fujian performance in a step done by the Chinese government to introduce its culture. Previously, Wayang Fujian was performed at Taman Mini Indonesia Indah or Indonesia in Miniature Park or TMII. Listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Dinugraha. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with May 17, 1950. The Association of Indonesian Publishers is founded. The Association of Indonesian Publishers, or IKAPI, was established on May 17, 1950 in Jakarta on the initiative of some national publishers. In addition to the spirit to replace foreign publishers who still monopolized book publishing activities in the country then, the birth of the Association of Indonesian Publishers also aimed to help the Indonesian government in developing an intelligent society. Initially, its members consisted of only 13 publishers. Currently, the number has reached more than 650 publishers scattered throughout Indonesia. In the course of its history, the Association of Indonesian Publishers continues to exist as the only organization of book publishers in this country to fight and serve the interests of its members. Next is May 17, 1980. The National Book Day is declared. The National Book Day was declared during the inauguration of the National Library in Jakarta on May 17, 1980. Minister of National Education Abdul Malik Fajar proclaimed May 17 as the National Book Day. The goal is to increase reading interest in Indonesia as well as the growing production of books in Indonesia. The date also coincided with the 30th commemoration of the Association of Indonesian Publishers. Last is the World Information Society Day, which also falls on May 17. World Information Society Day was proclaimed to be on 17th of May by a United Nations General Assembly resolution following the 2005 World Summit on the Information Society in Tunis. The day had previously been known as World Telecommunication Day to commemorate the founding of the International Telecommunication Union on May 17, 1865. It was instituted by the Plenipotentiary Conference in the Malaga Torremolinos in 1973. The main objective of the day is to raise global awareness of societal changes brought about by the internet and new technologies. It also aims to help reduce the digital divide. In November 2005, the World Summit on the Information Society called upon the United Nations General Assembly to declare May 17 as World Information Society Day to focus on the importance of ICT and the wide range of issues related to the information society raises by the World Information Society Day. The General Assembly adopted a resolution in March 2006 stipulating that World Information Society Day shall be celebrated every year on May the 17th. The first World Information Society Day took place on Wednesday, May the 17th, 2006. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is highlight of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia entitled President Joko Widodo Attends Democratic Party Congress. I'm Dinugraha. Listener, after a working visit to Maluku, Papua and Papua New Guinea, the Indonesian President Joko Widodo or Jokowi made time to attend Democratic Party Congress in Surabaya, East Java last Tuesday, May the 12th. President Jokowi said in his speech that he came because all activities of political parties like Congress and National Meeting are important. However, his activities as a president sometimes hampered him to attend the activities of political party. According to the president, the role of political parties is important not only as a consolidation but an effort to realize the nation's ideas as set forth in the Constitution. Meanwhile, Chairman of Democratic Party Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono showed appreciation to President Joko Widodo, who made time to come to the Congress in Surabaya after a visit overseas and some regions. In the same occasion, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono also stated that although Democratic Party is not in the government's coalition, the party will still fully support the government decision and policy which are in line with the people's expectation. Furthermore, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono said that he would not be doubtful to criticize the government's policy, which is not people-oriented. Besides Jokowi, former Vice President Budiono, former ministers of United Indonesia Cabinet Chapter 1 and 2 like Muhammad Nuh, Sudi Silalahi, Chairul Tanjung and Hatta Rajasa also attended the Congress. Head of state institutions like People's Consultative Assembly or MPR Speaker Zulkifli Hasan, Chairman of the Regional Representative Council or DPD Irman Guzman, and the Head of House of Representatives or DPR Speaker Setia Novanto were also seen among the invitees. Some attending elites of political parties included Chairman of the United Development Party or PPP versions of Muktamar Surabaya, Roma Hurmuzi, Chairman of Golkar versions of Jakarta National Meeting Agung Laksono, Chairman of the National Awakening Party or PKB Muhaimin Iskandar, Chairman of People's Conscience Hanura Party Wiranto, Chairman of the Indonesian Justice and Unity Party PKPI Sutiyoso, Vice Secretary General of the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle PDIP Eriko Sutarduga, and Vice Chairman of Great Indonesian Movement Party Gerindra Fadlizon. Leaders of parties joining Red and White Coalition were not seen in the Congress. According to Fadlizon, the absence of most leaders of political parties in the Red and White Coalition shouldn't be a polemic. It is understandable because of their tight schedule. Listener, that ends highlights of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Dinugraha.
Here is Week in Review, featuring several events that happening during this week stationed. We start on Sunday, May 10, 2015. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said government will promote West Papua Province to become the national granary by utilizing land of 4.6 million hectares. According to President, the decision is a mega project to meet domestic rice needs through modern mechanism. He said if all can be completed in accordance with mechanism of modern agriculture, rice production on the 4.6 million hectare land can equal the rice production throughout Indonesia. However, Jokowi still has doubts whether the program can be executed. Therefore, this program is targeted to finish in the next 3 years. If all part of the land are harvested, rice production could reach more than 24 million tons. President Jokowi said this means that Merauke alone can fulfill national rice needs by 30%. If combined with rice production from all provinces, Indonesia can even become the world's largest rice producer. On Monday, the Indonesian government will actively participate in settlement the South China Sea dispute involving several ASEAN member countries and the People's Republic of China. On the sidelines of the Maritime Fulcrum and Foreign Policy Seminar Monday in Jakarta, Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fahir said that the Indonesian government will conduct various approaches to settle the long South China Sea disputes.
Kita akan terus tentu aja dengan berbagai pendekatan dan mekanisme serta forum. Hampir semua forum kita gunakan apakah
We will continue with various approaches and mechanism including forums. We use all forums including forums of our initiatives, namely seminars and workshops as well as other forums. We have that we can provide solutions. That's why we invite all stakeholders to solve the issue as part of our contribution. A.M. Fahir stated that the dispute needs a solution for the stability as the result that involves many parties. The Maritime Fulcrum and Foreign Policy Seminar was held on Monday at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs building by the Indonesian Council on World Affairs and attended by ambassadors of friendly countries. Still on Monday, May 11, 2015, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi accompanying President Joko Widodo in a state visit to Papua New Guinea. In his visit to Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea, Retno LP Marsudi accompanied President Joko Widodo to discuss about various cooperation in the field of economy, politics, and border area. And this was conveyed by Indonesian Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs, A.M. Fahir, in a press briefing in Jakarta on Tuesday, May
12, 2015.
Of course, it is bilateral cooperation. We are neighbors, of course. We discuss many issues involving many aspects such as economic, political, and most relevant is a matter of borders as well, because we are bordered with it. Meanwhile, in press release published by Cabinet Secretariat site on Tuesday, May 12, said that President Joko Widodo appreciated the economic growth of Papua New Guinea and hope bilateral cooperation between both countries should be improved. Therefore, in the visit, President Joko Widodo signed two memorandum of understandings with PNG Prime Minister Peter O'Neill on the management of oil and gas resources and on prevention and handling transnational crime. According to President Joko Widodo, diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Papua New Guinea has been running to 40 years, and the country is not only a close neighbor, but also shares the island with Indonesian territory. On Tuesday, researcher of the Research Center for Biology, LIPI, who is also the team leader, Cahyo Rahmadi, on Tuesday in Jakarta said, the Indonesian researchers have discovered six new species in Mount Tambora, West Nusa Tenggara. The discovery is the result of exploration conducted by the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, and the NKRI expedition team for a half month from April 16 to 30, 2015. The six species are believed as new species, namely two species of gecko, two species of night butterfly, and two species of whip spider.
Jadi memang betul proses untuk identifikasi, kemudian deskripsi, identifikasi itu membutuhkan proses yang panjang.
It takes time to identify and describe. When we introduce six new species, our taxonomists have had a real picture how many species and what species there are. Once we got the specimens, we compare them with the species which are already known. So we are confident to claim that they are new species candidates. Besides six new species, according to Cahyo, the researchers also noted the flora and fauna in Mount Tambora. He added there are 22 species of flora, 46 species of bird, 21 species of reptiles, 4 species of amphibians, and 10 species of mammals. However, the Indonesian Institute of Sciences estimates that the number of species still could increase after the in-depth study. The exploration was conducted to cover potential biological resources to commemorate 200 years of the Mount Tambora's eruption. 48 scientists were involved in the expedition, including LIPI and the NKRI expedition teams, representatives of the Office of Conservation Section Region 3, Bima Dompu, and local communities. On the same day Tuesday, Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya said the strategic way to expedite the growth of halal-based tourism is to largely ensure affordability. He also said that affordability is to raise the per capita income of tourists. To achieve this target, prices of tourism products and services should be reduced so that they can be afforded and enjoyed by all communities. Currently, tourism costs in Indonesia and other member states of the ASEAN are very competitive. The ministry urged tourism business players to be more active in making their products and services innovative. On Wednesday, leader of the second relief team of BNPB, Eko Budiman, said the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, is sending a second all-civilian relief team to Nepal without a military component. The decision to send an all-civilian team was made after being questioned by the Nepali authorities, who were confused about the nature of the Indonesian team. Indonesia's first relief team was a civilian one led by the BNPB, but included medical personnel from the military. Eko also said that the second batch included medical personnel from various government institutions as well as other organizations. Eko further said the relief works would still be focused in Nepal's Tatungal area, which is based on coordination between BNPB and the Nepali government. On the same day, Wednesday, Indonesia will host the International Congress of Military Medicine that is integrated into the 41st International Committee of Military Medicine, ICMM, in Nusa Dua, Bali, Convention Center, Bali. Under the plan, President Joko Widodo will officially open the Congress of Military Medicine. ICMM Chairman of the Committee, Major General Daniel Chen, in a press conference at Defense Ministry in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon, said that the Congress will encourage partnerships for the countries involved in the military medicine. According to Daniel, ICMM is an evidence of partnership that needs to be done in the development of the military.
Kegiatan Kongres Dunia ini meningkatkan partnership di antara negara karena tidak ada suatu negara.
These activities enhance the partnership among countries because no single country, including in the field of defense and health, can carry out its duties and functions independently without support from neighboring countries or surroundings. So we build the partnerships among member countries of ICMM. We are aware of the various issues, including some time ago and today, some accidents still afflict our brothers in Nepal that suffered from natural disaster. We are actively engaged in, including in military medical forces with existing partners. We are also involved in humanitarian aid there. This forum is also a platform for us to share the experience and we learn, because we make this Congress as sharing of knowledge and science in the field of military medicine, especially how we do it among the various capabilities of various countries. This international congress will be a scientific meeting in the field of military medicine to increase the contribution to the development of military and the welfare of society. Based on data from the Ministry of Defense, there are 643 participants from 77 countries to attend the ICMM, consisting of 145 international and national speakers, to give these views according to their field of expertise. On Thursday, Chairman of the BKPM Frankie Sibarani told Antara News in Beijing that Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, held a business meeting with executives from some 100 Chinese companies to introduce them to the country's investment potentials and its one-stop service to ease investment. This business forum was the first such one organized by the board. Furthermore, Indonesian Ambassador to China Sugeng Raharjo said that considering China's huge investment potential, the country could become the fifth largest investor in Indonesia. Vice President of Bank of China Gao Yanxin noted that the relations between China and Indonesia continued to increase, marked by the recent exchange of visits by the heads of state of both nations. According to him, Indonesia was China's biggest trading partner in Southeast Asia, and with its long coastline, its position was very strategic for China's One Belt, One Road project. On Friday, Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said affirmed that President Joko Widodo had agreed with Indonesia's plan to rejoin the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC. According to Minister Sudirman, the plan had been proposed twice to the president. Minister Sudirman told reporters on Friday, May 15, 2015, that by joining OPEC, Indonesia will have an equal position with other oil-exporting countries and will gain early access to information related to oil compared to non-OPEC countries. He is confident that Indonesia will be allowed to join OPEC. Because although Indonesia is no longer an oil-exporting country, its status as one of the largest oil importers will provide a strong bargaining position in the global oil market. Sudirman said that he would attend the OPEC meeting scheduled to be held on June 3rd to June 4th in Vienna, where Indonesia will act as an observer. That was the Week in Review.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Welcome to News in Brief. President Joko Widodo said on Saturday that the policy to raise rice price is not to put the people in trouble. In fact, he said that the move is made because the government does not want to import rice and wants to protect local farmers. Political observer Raya Rangkuti viewed that police should remove the suspect status of Inactive Corruption Eradication Commission KPK Deputy Chief Bambang Wijayanto following to a decision made by the Supervisory Commission of the Association of Indonesian Advocates, saying that Bambang did not violate the Code of Ethics. Aceh Provincial Government aims to attract 1.8 million domestic and foreign tourists this year. The figure increases by 30% compared to that of last year. Bureaucratic Reform Minister Yudi Krisnandi said that President Joko Widodo had already had names of ministers to be evaluated. The indication is that during the cabinet meeting last week, President Joko Widodo gave his warning about disbursement of budget to several ministries. The government continued to call on all national industries, especially those under the Indonesian Chamber of Trade and Industry (Kadin), to prepare competent business players that have high competitiveness and are ready to compete with business players from other countries. That was News in Brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Rono Dipuro, B. Abdul Rahman Saleh, 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesia's tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will take you to the province of West Kalimantan to enjoy the beauty of Danau Biru or the Blue Lake. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Singkawang, the capital of West Kalimantan Province, besides known as the City of a Thousand Temples or Pagodas, also has many tourist attractions. One of them is Danau Biru, or literally, the Blue Lake. It is located approximately 6 kilometers from Singkawang. If you use a motorcycle or a car, it will only take about 30 minutes to get there. During holidays, many tourists come to the Blue Lake to relax with the family and also to enjoy the beautiful sunset late in the afternoon. Danau Biru, or roughly translated Blue Lake, is indeed somewhat unique. The blue color appears in contrast with the grass and shrubs that grow in the arid land surrounded with white sand. From the banks of the Blue Lake towards the southeast, you can enjoy a long row of green mountains. These mountains serve as a natural fortress that separates Singkawang and Bengkayang City. You can also watch the natural landscape such as the blue sky and the blue water, lush meadows, neat shady palm trees, mounds of sands, and fascinating shapes of rocks formed by rainwater. Danau Biru, or Blue Lake, is actually a former illegal gold mine abandoned a few years ago. Now this place is no longer used for mining. Instead, it had turned into a lake with blue water. So, in other words, actually, all of this is formed due to the impact of the destruction of nature that amazingly produces beautiful scenery. If in other lakes, visitors usually can swim, in the Blue Lake, you are not allowed to do it. Because, as has been described above, the lake was once used for extracting gold and may contain some dangerous chemicals for human body. But here, with a background and beautiful scenery, you can take wonderful pictures. People often use this place for pre-wed photo shooting location and also enjoy a stunning sunset. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, which took you to the Blue Lake located in the province of West Kalimantan, Singkawang. If you are in the capital of West Kalimantan, find time to visit and enjoy the beauty of Danau Biru or the Blue Lakes. Tomorrow, we will meet again with other interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition, we'll be discussing the National Book Day. May the 17th is celebrated in Indonesia as the National Book Day. This day was announced in 1990 by the Minister of National Education, Abdul Malik Fajar. The idea of the National Book Day came from the Literary Society in order to stimulate public interest in Indonesia in reading books. The rapid development of information technology has allowed the public to obtain a variety of information easily. But that does not mean people don't need books, because most of the information available on the internet also comes from books. Moreover, the existence of books is still needed, especially for those living in remote and isolated areas, as stated by Anas Gia, coordinator of Book Donation. They want to read books, but there are nothing to read. The media do not exist. Then the access to books also does not exist. So that's it. While technology is not well developed there. The high interest in reading and the lack of media such books in Meranti, Riau Island has made Anaskia and her friends collect books for later distributed to communities in remote areas. The movement that is focused on children's books continues to grow and has sent the books to several other areas in Indonesia, such as in Aceh and Papua. Various activities undertaken by book community in Indonesia to commemorate the National Book Day, among others, inviting people to read books together on May 17, 2015 today, and having book donations. This year, we only had online events in cooperation with Friends from 1 Million Books for Indonesia movement, as well as Friends of Volunteers. In addition, we support Friends from Mahanani, who will hold Ocean of Books event. They urge people to come together, each bringing a book, reads it, and then donates the book. Regarding the low interest in reading among people, Anaskia said it is affected by several factors, among others, the availability of facilities and residential areas.
Kalau kita melihat di media masih rendahnya minat baca masyarakat Indonesia. Okay, saya mengakui itu ada.
If we see in the media, public interest in Indonesia is still low. Okay, I admit that this is true. But the lack of interest in reading is sometimes due to lack of reading material. We send books to Manusela. It is in Maluku. There you have to walk, passing through mountains, valleys, and hills for 4 days. We cannot generalize it when the reading interest is low. Okay, maybe in some major cities. Such things exist, although the access is easier, but it collided with the technology. So more people read the gadget rather than reading the manual book. Anaskia hopes the government will support communities that already exist. In addition, she and her friends would continue distributing books to the Indonesian people who need them. Well, that was Miss Eleni over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And as of January 2015, you can listen to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia via streaming in 2 channels, namely indonesia.rriworldservice.com for Indonesian, English, Mandarin, Japanese, Arabic, German, French, and Spanish services, and english.rriworldservice.com for Indonesia Today in English language. You can also listen via mobile application
through your smartphone by downloading RRI Play for smartphone with Android and iOS. You will be able to listen to Voice of Indonesia broadcast both on demand and audio streaming, and also other programs of RRI local stations across Indonesia. So you can tune in our station everywhere. Or you can also listen to Voice of Indonesia programs through TuneIn or RDO. Well, listener, now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Dieter Leopold in Germany. He was listening to German language service. Hello, Mr. Dieter Leopold. Thank you for your email dated May 5th, 2015. We are really sorry because you cannot tune in our radio through frequency of 9525 kHz on this date, because our frequency has been down since last month and we are trying to fix it. Hopefully it will finish soon. Mr. Dieter Leopold, we suggest you to listen to our broadcast in German language through our audio streaming or RRI Play. Thank you. Well, Mr. Dieter Leopold, we are looking forward to receiving your next letter or emails. And listener, before we continue to answer emails, we'll introduce you to one of Indonesian bands. Kangen Band was established in 2005. This band released their first album entitled Tentang Aku, Kau dan Dia, or in English means About Me, You and Her, in 2007. From music and cinema, Kangen Band personnel also explored their talents as actors in a film entitled Minggu Pagi di Victoria, or Sunday Morning in Victoria, directed by Noe Leto. Unfortunately, in 2012, Andika, the vocalist of this band, was dismissed by the management due to drug case and was replaced by Rehan Gita Umara, or known as Rehan. And that was a glimpse about one of Indonesian bands, Kangen Band. And before we play a song by Kangen Band, we will reply an email from Muhammad Yasir Isfak in Pakistan. In his email, Mr. Muhammad Yasir Isfak said that he listened to our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz on January the 4th, 2015, and it was strong signal. Hello, Mr. Muhammad Yasir Isfak. Thank you very much for your email and also compliment on our broadcast. We hope you always listen to our broadcast every day. And please send your reception reports in detail. As your request, we will send our QSL card to your home. Please be patient to wait for it. Thank you. Listener, now we continue to reply an email from Abu Tahir Sakir Ahmad in Bangladesh. He is a new listener of our broadcast. In his email, Mr. Abu Tahir Sakir Ahmad said that he wants to know Indonesian language and the natural beauty of Indonesia. Hello, Mr. Abu Tahir Sakir Ahmad. Welcome to the club. We are really glad because you want to listen to our broadcast. If you want to know about our national language, Bahasa Indonesia, you can listen to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which is broadcast every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Through this segment, you can learn Bahasa Indonesia word by word. And if you want to know the natural beauty of Indonesia, you can follow our segment Indonesian Wonder and also Miss Laney every day. Indonesian Wonder is a segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia, while Miscellany is a segment featuring diversity of Indonesian wealth broadcast from Thursday to Sunday. And if you missed those segments, you can find it out on our website www.voi.co.id. Well, Mr. Abu Tahir Sakir Ahmad, please keep listening and sending your reception reports on our broadcast. Well, listener, before we end listener's mailbag, we will give you information concerning our program. In 2015, English Service will still have network programs with several RRI local stations, such as with RRI Bukit Tinggi in West Sumatra every Monday, RRI Denpasar Bali on Tuesday, with RRI Ternate in North Maluku and RRI Bandung in West Java on Wednesday, with RRI Samarinda in East Kalimantan on Thursday, and with RRI Banjarmasin in South Kalimantan every Friday. And we also have various kinds of interesting and informative programs in Indonesia Today broadcast via streaming on english.rriworldservice.com, such as Voice of the Young, Know Our Music, The Forum, Meet With, Book and Film Review, Sports World, Saturday Chats, and also Indonesian Women. Well, listen, unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast, so please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. And don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and also Voice of Indonesia Arrival Service. Or you can also follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia. And listener, we are organizing Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015, and we have aired the questions, and you can join the quiz by answering the questions. Who knows, you are one of the lucky winners to win the grand prize, namely visiting Indonesia for free. And for further information, you can visit www.voi.co.id. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another song from Kangen Band, Jangan Menangis or Don't Cry. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening. And we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Aku jatuh cinta lagi untuk yang kesekian kali. Dan ku rasa tapi kali ini ku temukan cinta sejati, ya tinggal dalam palung hati. Meligai cinta yang sejati, ku rasa aku cinta mati. Wanitanya seorang pelacur, ku temukan di sudut malam. Ku lihat dia sedang menangis, sedang menangis, sedang menangis. Sudahlah.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.